Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
That was President Trump speaking yesterday from his home in Bedminster, New Jersey, discussing North Korea and the amped rhetoric with North Korea, saying, hey, you know, maybe we'll take a little pot shot at Guam. To discuss that with us right now is Bruce Klingner. He is a research fellow for Northeast Asia at the Heritage Foundation's Asian Studies Center. He's also a former CIA deputy division chief for Korea. Bruce, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you this morning?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. My big question whenever I see this and I hear these things with North Korea, why is Kim Jong-un challenging Trump when he never challenged Obama?
Actually, he did challenge Obama. The North Korea has continually developed and worked to refine and augment its nuclear arsenal as well as the missile means to deliver them. So during Kim Jong-un's 5 years in power, he's really done an exponentially higher number of missile launches than his father and his grandfather did. So it's really kind of a continually developing crisis.
You know, yesterday the president comes out, he threatens to bring down hellfire, or whatever the phrase is precisely, if the North Koreans continue to pursue threats. And the first reaction we got out of the North Koreans was to threaten to attack Guam. Are you of the opinion that North Korea has no concern about American military force, or just doesn't believe the president right now?
Well, we've seen these threats specifically against Guam over the past, so you can keep a kind of a running list of all the various threats. Over the years, they've threatened to turn Seoul, Tokyo, and Washington into seas of fire. So the North Korean rhetoric tends to be over the top, but they don't carry out most of the threats, but they do occasionally carry one out, so that's when we always have to be very concerned, and we're always trying to parse the threats. With this threat against Guam, it does seem more specific in its language than before, which is worrisome. But we have seen fairly similar threats like that. And also, you figure they wouldn't telegraph a surprise attack.
You know, yesterday, the day began, the reason this all got started was because there were reports that the government has concluded that the North Koreans can now miniaturize a nuke and perhaps attach it to a missile. And you know, as we've talked about North Korea throughout the years, we've always been given timelines that seem to have been much longer in terms of expecting when North Korea would be ready to do this. How did it get here so quickly, and what were the forces that helped North Korea achieve this? Are there other countries involved?
Well, when I was at CIA in 1999, we did a unclassified national intelligence estimate, and we predicted that by the year 2015, North Korea would have the capability of hitting the continental U.S. with a nuclear weapon. So we may have been off a few years, but it really shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But we have seen, I think, over the decades, a tendency to downplay or dismiss the North Korean threat. In the 90s, people dismissed that there was a plutonium nuclear weapons program. During the George Bush administration, it was dismissing that a uranium program existed. And then in 2007, when the Israelis hit a target in Syria, people initially downplayed or dismissed that it was a nuclear reactor built with the help of North Korea. Obviously, all of those, you know, were irrefutably true. And then recently, it's been a tendency to say, well, North Korea can't figure these things out. It's still several years away, and they've been saying that for several years. So Really, but in the last 2 years, we've had, I think, a lot of cases where people seem surprised by some development, and they've had to refine their estimates. And we saw that even with the two ICBM launches in July, where the July 4th one, they said, oh, it can only hit Alaska, and then 3 weeks later, when they did a longer one that could hit L.A., Denver, and Chicago, and perhaps New York and Washington, again, they were surprised. So I think there's just been this tendency to dismiss North Korea as a threat.
But the country is often seen as an isolated, technology-free country for the most part, at least among the citizenship. But there's a different level of advancement when it comes to these nuclear weapons. How did they get there? Was this just internal deliberations that have led to their ability to be able to do this, internal scientists, or have other countries been assisting them?
Well, there's a long history to each program. North Korea started the nuclear program in the 60s because they felt they couldn't trust their two allies, the Soviet Union and China. So they felt in order to be truly independent, they had to have their own nuclear program. And then the missile program, they started by reverse engineering Russian missiles that they had gotten from Egypt in, I believe, the 1980s. And then they continually expanded and refined those missiles and then came up with their own. So it's largely indigenous programs, but they do need componentry and technology from the outside world. So after the Soviet Union collapsed, a lot of the unemployed rocket scientists and nuclear scientists, some of them showed up in North Korea. But it's not so much a case of the Russia or China sort of as a government giving them material. It's just North Korea is able to get it through sort of a rogues gallery of other rogue regimes like Libya and Pakistan and Iran. They've all been exchanging information.
Looking back, did we miss any opportunities to stop this?
That's a long-running debate amongst Korea watchers. If you oversimplify, there's sort of the more pressure side of the coin, and then there's the more engagement or more diplomacy side of the coin. And each group will say that had we only tried more strongly with pressure and sanctions, or had we tried more energetic diplomacy and negotiations, we wouldn't be where we are today. But that's a bit of water under the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing you point to and say, boy, we should have done this, or we should have stuck to this red line.
I would argue that the eight negotiations or the eight international agreements with North Korea that failed were, poorly done, and that, we didn't apply the same standard of specificity and demands with North Korea as we did in the arms control agreements we had with the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact. Also, by downplaying or dismissing the threat, we've not followed through on what we could have done. Even today, for example, the U.S. is not fully enforcing its own laws. There are Chinese banks and businesses that are misusing the U.S. financial system, committing money laundering and other crimes, and we continue to pull our punches even under this administration.
Bruce, in the 30 seconds we have left, what do you make of the president's comments yesterday about fire, fury, and power the likes of which the world has never seen before? Is that an effective statement when dealing with North Korea?
Well, it sounds very similar to what North Korea says, very over the top. I don't think it's helpful to be that strong in the language. And has he drawn a red line that now he may not fulfill, as Obama did with Syria and Trump did earlier this year when he said that an ICBM test won't happen? So, I think we need to make sure we don't needlessly or too easily draw red lines that we're not willing to carry through on.
All right, Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And that's Bruce Klinger, Senior Research Fellow for Northeast Asia at the Heritage Foundation's Asian Studies Center.